This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Ezekiel. And if you would turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6. The Lord is laying on Ezekiel's heart a number of things that are happening in the lives of the people of Israel, specifically the people of Judah. Last week we saw how that they were not worshiping the Lord and allowing false worship to enter in, and that they had really allowed Satan to infiltrate their worship service, and Ezekiel really chastised them for this and said that this is part of the reason God was judging them, is because they had turned from him. And even as Jeremiah had said, they had springs of living water, and instead they abandoned those and embraced cisterns, broken cisterns that couldn't hold water. And that's basically what they had done. And Ezekiel was brought to the Lord that, and we saw last time how that Ezekiel had used another physical example of how God was going to deal with them, and he was going to deal with some of them in three different ways. Well, today we're going to look at chapter 6, and Ezekiel's not done. The Lord is continuing to speak through Ezekiel about what the nation of Israel's problems are. And today we're going to be looking at the fact that judgment is coming because of their idolatry. And so let's begin by looking at chapter 6, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel, and the prophecy against them. Now, it's interesting that God has him set his face towards the mountains of Israel, because this is where oftentimes what they would do is they'd go and build high places in the mountains, and they'd worship their false gods up there. And when we've been studying through the kings of Israel and Judah, you remember that many of the kings built high places of worship. Solomon was the first king that introduced some of these high places to the nation of Israel, and he did it to appease his wives. But the problem was, it wasn't just appeasing his pagan wives, that he also began to slip away from God, and it impacted him as well. And it impacted his children, and it impacted the nation. Well, what Israel did, and Judah, when they became two separate nations, they built these high places. They built altars to false gods. They went there, and they would worship demonic spirits there. In the day in which we live, Satan does this. You probably heard of the Bohemian Grove. That is a place where leaders of the world go, and they worship, do abominable things and worship false gods, and it's done out in California, and it's just disgusting. Well, that's kind of what the nation of Israel was involved with. And so Ezekiel's been called by God to just condemn them and show them the error of their ways. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and will destroy your high places. And your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses, rather, of the children of Israel before their idols. And I will scatter your bones around about your altars. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, and your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cast, and your images may be cut down and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations. Men ye shall be scattered through the countries, and they that escape of you shall remember, and among the nations, remember me among the nations. Rather, they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, and go a whoring after their idols, and they have loathed, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, smite the hand and the stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And that is afar off, and he that is afar off shall die of pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish by my fury, saith my fury upon them. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, around about their altars, upon every high hill, and the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Debeth in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us understand what's going on here. Lord, help us understand that God is serious when he's dealing with the nation of Israel, and it wasn't just to take them into captivity in Babylon, but if they did not repent of their ways, these judgments wait for them. Lord, speak to us through your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The people didn't understand, nor did they see that what they were doing was wrong. They thought that that God would wink at their sin, he'd wink at their worshiping of false idols, and that they could continue on with their worship in Jerusalem and have these high places. And so they go off to these high places, which were apart from the city of Jerusalem, and they're thinking, well, God doesn't see us, God doesn't know. Well, it's interesting. Things haven't changed much in the world today. The same thing happens. In Israel, God judged the nation of Israel. He scattered them amongst the nations. The remnant were scattered amongst the nations. Those that weren't killed during the time of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the other attacks upon Israel at the time of the prophets. Later on, when they were scattered amongst the nations at the time of the Romans in 70 A.D., they no longer had the temple, they no longer had the temple worship, and they begin to introduce even more abominable things in the name of the Lord. And today even, Israel will have people who say, oh, we believe in the God of Israel, we believe in the Bible, but then they've introduced Kabbalah, which is a mixing of demonic worship and witchcraft with the Bible, and it becomes an abomination to the Lord. That's exactly what was going on here. They would mix the two. They would have their places of worship in the mountains to their altars and to their pagan gods. And then they come back down to the city, to Jerusalem, and say, as long as the temple's here, we're fine because God's with us. Well, God was not with them when they were out worshiping false gods. And there's three judgments that continually come up that Ezekiel brings. One is the sword, and that they're going to be judged by the sword. There are going to be those that will be killed by those that God uses. There is also pestilence, that is disease, that will come upon the people. And then there is famine. And this is exactly the three things that were done to the nation of Israel at the time that Ezekiel is prophesying, before God called them out about a little less than 70 years after Ezekiel is prophesying these things, he brings them back into the land. But during the time that they are gone, the land is really becomes a desolate place. Why? Because God judges the very things that they use. He judges the trees, he judges the hills, he judges the mountains, he judges the rivers, and it becomes desolate. Whenever God has removed the nation of Israel from the land, it's become a desolate place. And it's because God's judgment is coming upon the land, in part because of what Israel has done in walking in an abomination to him. We see the same thing happened after the Romans. The land became a desolate place. The trees were all gone. And during the Ottoman Empire, literally, God allowed virtually just about every tree in the nation of Israel to be cut down. And the Ottoman Empire was the Muslim empire that was there before World War One, and was disbanded in World War One, and then after World War Two, the nation of Israel came back as a nation into the land. Jews had been coming back prior to that, but they come back to a very desolate country. During the Ottoman Empire, it was every tree was taxed, and so people cut down their trees so they didn't have to pay tax. And God used them as part of his judgment against the land to make it desolate and even more desolate. And when Israel came back into the land in 1948, one of the first things they began to do was have a tree planting program to replant the trees and bring vegetation back to Israel. And it began to blossom in the desert like the Lord said it would. But it had become desolate just as God had predicted during the time of Ezekiel, and it would come again after the Romans had driven them out of the land as well. Well, we see here in verse 8, he says, "Yet I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered throughout the countries." One of the things that God always does is he has a remnant of people. He has a remnant of people, even at the most desolate times, there is still a remnant that look to the Lord, that trust in the Lord, that believe in God. If you look at the time of the Maccabees, much of Israel was being conformed by Antiochus Epiphanes, who was inherited that portion of the land that had once been ruled by Alexander the Great. And he came into the nation of Israel, and one of the things he wanted to do was turn all the people into Greek-thinking people. He wanted to turn them into pagans, and he wanted to destroy their view of the Hebrew God, the true and the living God, and replace it with an understanding of Greek philosophy and Greek culture and Greek religion. And that's what he began to do. Now, during that whole time, many people followed Antiochus Epiphanes and did what he called them to do because they didn't want to be persecuted by him. But there was a remnant that did not do that. And the Maccabees were priestly family, and they rose up against Antiochus Epiphanes and went in and cleansed the temple after he had desecrated it. They went in and reestablished the temple worship. They went in and relit the menorah and established the worship of the true and the living God in the land of Israel. And today, Hanukkah, which is celebrated actually right now by the Jewish people, this period of time, was established and was called the celebration of lights, because light once again came in the midst of the darkness that had been there. And so God has always had his remnant. And when we see that one of the things that has come out of even World War II was the people coming back to Israel, and now people beginning to turn back to the Lord. And there's a remnant being built within the Jewish people. We know that in the last days there's going to be a remnant where one-third of the Jewish people shall be saved, and they shall look upon Jesus when he comes to deliver them from the persecution of the nations, where the nations are going to come to try and destroy all of Israel, and the Lord will come and save them, and they'll look upon him whom they pierced and realize he is their Messiah. The same is true within the church. The church has always had a remnant as well. Today, many people say that, the Roman Catholic Church has always been the church, and can trace its roots back to the beginning. No, it can't. You can't trace the popes back to Peter. Peter was never a pope. But the thing is, there is much idolatry that has been put into the Roman Catholic Church. And as God hated the idolatry that was brought into Israel, he hates the idolatry that was brought into Christianity. One of the main forms of idolatry is the worship of the host. And if you would ever go to a Catholic Mass, one of the things that you will see is they'll bring out the monstrance, which is it looks like the sun god. And in the center of it, they'll place a wafer, which they say is literally the body of Jesus. And then they worship what they refer to as the host. Well, this is an abomination to the Lord. This is idolatry. This is worshiping something that is not God. This is just like going up into the mountains, up into by the nation of Israel, into the mountains, and establishing altars and worshiping pagan gods in the name of God, and saying we're doing it in out in the hills where we can be closer to nature. There's a lot of people that will do that too. There's even Christians that will do that. They'll say, well, I can go out and I can worship God because I like to go out and be in nature, so I can worship God through the birds and I can worship God through the trees. And I can, well, it's a slippery slope from worshiping God to worshiping his creation instead of God. And you make that the focus of your worship instead of focusing on the Lord. And that's what the Roman Catholics did. They established these pagan symbols, and that becomes the focus of their worship. The focus of the worship during the Mass becomes the host. Much of their worship service is based upon pagan customs and idolatrous symbols. And when you do that, you take your eyes off of God and replace them with something else. That's exactly what Israel is doing, and that's what the danger that the church has had. And one of the things that you see happening today is people are turning back to Rome and saying, well, it's the original church, and so we should all go back and be one great big happy church. And Rome is calling her orphan children back to Rome. She's calling the Protestants, but the real believers have never been Protestants in the sense that they were ever a part of Rome. The Protestants were part of Rome, and they protested against Rome and left it. The true believers have always been separate from Rome, and you've always had a remnant of people that did that. You had the Albigensians, the Waldensians, the Huguenots, other groups of people that always believed the Bible literally. They believed in the principles of the Bible, and one of the things that they would stand against was the Mass and the worship of these pagan idols that were part of the Catholic Church. And because they would not engage in that, many of them were put to death or imprisoned or ostracized or were driven from land because of the pagan church. Well, the day is coming where God says, I'm going to judge not only the idolatry that was in Israel, But God's going to judge the idolatry that even is within the church. And he will judge it, and there, he shall establish his kingdom of righteousness. And we know that'll occur when he returns and establishes his kingdom on earth. If you go down in, so we not only see that God has a remnant, but also we see down in verse 9, he says, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all of their abominations. Lord equates worshiping false gods with idolatry and with going after whores or going after women that are not your wife. That is what he says the nation of Israel is doing. They're really selling themselves or going after something that isn't to be, and they're not to be involved with. God establishes in the New Testament, we see in the book of Ephesians, he establishes marriage as an example of what Christ's relationship to the church is. In the Old Testament, the Lord said that Israel was his wife. And the problem he had with Israel is she was often committing adultery, and that is she wanted to be with somebody besides him. She wanted to be with all these other gods. She wanted to appease the world. She wanted to be like the world. She wanted to go after the things of the world instead of going after and pursuing God. He says, well, this is my complaint against you. You've had this attitude, and you're selling yourself for that which you are not to sell yourself to. And it's an abomination to me. And so we need to understand that God doesn't look any better on it today in the church than he did at the time of Ezekiel in the nation of Israel. And I mentioned this morning, even in today's message, today Israel is has a lot of pagans, Jews within it, but God has not turned his back on them. And even though they are still, many of them, doing some of the things that the nation of Israel was doing during the time of Ezekiel, we're seeing that Ezekiel is laying out all the sins of Israel, but as we get later into some of the later chapters, we're going to see that God has not forgotten Israel, and there's a means by which they can come back to him, just as there's a means by which any man can come back to him, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, he says in verse 11, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. There is judgments, there is a means of judgments, and God has used those against Israel throughout their history. And yet, at the same time, he hasn't forgotten them. And he still has that remnant. And then, finally, down in verse 14, we see, so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Dibnath in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. One of the ways that God is going to reveal to Israel is when he blesses the land is prosperous. When he does not bless them, the land becomes desolate, and when he judges them, it's a complete disarray and desolation. You go to the Middle East today, just as the Lord said, when he would hiss and start to bring the people back to Israel, and they're coming back, he said, the land, once again, I will bless the land, and the land will bloom like a rose in the desert. And that's exactly what's happening. Prior to that, we saw this, desolation. And God's hand was upon the land as a sign to the Jewish people that if you walk in disobedience to me, your obedience is tied to the blessing of the land, because the land is my land, but I've entrusted you with it. And if you're going to disobey me, I'm going to take the land back from you, but I'm not going to give it to another. I'm just going to cause it to be desolate. And that's one of the things that our political leaders need to realize today is God never said he's going to give that land to somebody else. He just said, if Israel walks in disobedience to me and I have to judge them so that they will know who I am, I will cause the land to become desolate, and when I bring them back, I'll cause it to become prosperous. because I am the one who is the one that is in control of the land, and I am the one that will bring my blessings or cursings upon Israel for their obedience or disobedience to me. May we understand that Ezekiel is laying out an argument here and laying out a case for the nation of Israel. And one of the things it's going to do is show their hopeless estate. There is nobody that's going to deliver them but God. And when we get into the chapters of hope and promise, that's what's going to be laid out. And up until then, we're going to see more judgments that God is going to lay out against Israel, a case for judging them and not delivering them, but out of the depth of His love and the truth to His word and promise, they shall be delivered and their hearts shall be changed. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand these truths, help us to apply these truths to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.